ministry before Pharaoh to give himself and his works credibility. We see in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah given miracles to authenticate his ministry before King Ahab. And in the New Testament, we see the apostles were given the ability to perform miracles to authenticate their ministry before Israel. You can read in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Now, along those lines, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. In regards to the gift of speaking in tongues. He says, thus, tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. So Paul specifically says here that the gift of speaking in languages never studied before, and that's what the gift of speaking in tongues is, was given for the benefit of unbelievers so that the gospel may have credibility before them in their eyes. Now, since we have the inspired written word today, which holds a record of all the signs and all wonders accomplished through Jesus and the apostles with a plethora of eyewitness accounts to those miraculous events that have been validated as fact. And since we have the inspired word, which also contains everything Scripture says that we need for life and godliness, there's no need for further authentication or new revelation of truth today. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Now, Paul, he specifically says here that there will be a time when the ability to reveal new truth from God, the ability to speak in languages that one had never studied before, and the ability to receive divine revelations will eventually cease. And also along this line of reasoning, history itself, I believe, also indicates that these miraculous kind of gifts have ceased. If you read the post-apostolic church fathers, you see in their writings that they never mentioned any kind of these miraculous works. Church fathers such as Justin Martyr, Origen, Augustine, wrote that specifically that the gift of speaking in tongues was something that only occurred in the early days of the church. And this was just a brief time after the apostolic age. Now, in saying that, I'm not saying that God doesn't do wonderful and extraordinary things today through His providence, because we know He certainly does. God is working today. He is performing extraordinary things through His providence before our eyes. But what I am saying is that He has ceased to use individuals to perform miraculous signs. Now, with that being said, let's dive into Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, and look at these spiritual gifts. There are seven of them here that we're going to dissect. So let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 together. Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, it's important to note that all of these gifts in Romans chapter 12, you see the gift of showing mercy, you see the gift of leadership, you see the gift of serving. All of these gifts, in one way or another, in the New Testament are commanded for all Christians to do in some shape or form. Like to show mercy, for example. The last one. All of us are commanded to show mercy. to show acts of mercy. All of us are commanded, if you're a mother or a father, all of us are tasked with leading, with leadership, leading our families closer to Jesus. Likewise, all of us are tasked with serving one another, physical service. All of us are tasked with encouraging each other and building one another up. And likewise, all of us are tasked with generosity, giving liberally of ourselves, of our money, of our time and our energy to other people. So the gift that God gives in Romans chapter 12 must be that some are enabled by the Holy Spirit to perform that specific ability, whether leadership or mercy or service or whatever, more effectively and frequently than other gifts and other people. Or your gift could be something that you just enjoy doing more so than others. And also keep in mind that this is not an exhaustive list of gifts. These are just general categories. God gives many other kinds of spiritual gifts that are intended to build up the body and edify God's people. And also, as we go through this again, be thinking, what is my gift? What is it that God has blessed me with? Let's look at the first one together. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says, if prophecy in proportion to our faith. Now, much of the time when we hear the word prophet, we think of this mystic kind of fortune teller sitting in front of his crystal ball that foretells the future and predicts future events. But that's not the way that they are presented, the prophets, in the Bible. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 24 through chapter 4, verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 24 through chapter 4, verse 2. This is what Jeremiah says. He says, but from our youth, the shameful thing has devoured all for which our fathers labored. He's talking about their sin and their depravity, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. Skipping to chapter 4. If you return, O Israel, declares the Lord, to me, you should return. If you remove your detestable things from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Now, although prophets did speak about future events, the majority of their work that we see within the Old Testament specifically was centered around reminding God's people of the covenant that they made with him at Mount Sinai. The majority of their work was centered around calling Israel and the surrounding nations to repentance and recognize that Yahweh is sovereign. Not these other made-up deities, not themselves, but God is King and Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and to repent and to submit to him. And warning, the prophets did, they warned humanity about God's justice and coming judgment if they did not repent. They were basically those that possessed a deep passion and a zeal for God, and who spoke his word with power, with clarity, and in a spirit of love for God and other people. Now, remember, as we have said, that God does not reveal new truth today. We have everything that we need in the canon of Scripture. We have everything that we need through the inspired written word. And we know that God has gifted some people, more so than others, with the ability to proclaim it in a way that cuts to the heart and encourages God's people to walk deeper in him and come closer to his heart. Now, if you have the talent of preaching the word of God in this manner, in a way that touches hearts and minds and inspires people to continually lay down their selfish will, their selfish pride, and embrace the true treasure that is Jesus Christ, then you may have this kind of gift. Now let's look at the second gift that is listed in Romans chapter 12, service. In verse 7 of Romans chapter 12, if service in our serving. Now, the word translated service here is the same word that we translate deacon. Deacon, we know in the Lord's church, quite literally is one who serves the church in a plethora of ways, in a variety of ways. Notice with me the work of the very first deacons that are appointed within the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. It says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty.'" Now, we see here that the first deacons were tasked with serving in a way that was hands-on. They served in that they met the physical needs of those who were helpless, of those who couldn't take care of themselves. And we see through this example of the early church what this gift of service entails. The gift of service is the divine capacity to attach spiritual value to the accomplishment of physical tasks which meet a need of God's people. It's a special kind of mentality that God gives to some people that sees the physical needs of others as opportunities to bless and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you are somebody that always feels an urge to help out when you see a brother or sister in need, or if you are somebody that you're one of the first people that just shows up when a brother or sister is in distress, you may have this gift. You may have the gift of service. If this is an urge, an interest inside of you to see specific needs that people have, you feel compelled to meet those needs in whatever manner, in a broad manner. So look with me at the third gift that's mentioned in Romans chapter 12. This is verse 7. Romans 12, 7 says, "The one who teaches in his teaching." Now, the gift of teaching God's word, it's a little bit different than the gift of preaching God's word. Teachers are those who drink deeply from the Word of God, who understand it in its original context and have the ability to clearly present it in a way that is impactful and changes people. Most of the time, they are people who are blessed with good communication skills, and they're often graced with eloquent speech, so all people can understand them. Good teachers are those who know how to properly exegete God's word and draw from it the original intended meaning, and they communicate it in a way that other people can understand and be impacted by. Now, if you are somebody this morning that is skilled with the study of God's word, and you just love to study it, you love to sit hours on end uncovering the depth and the richness and the beauty and the treasure of God's word, and you just have a passion for communicating that to other people, and other people are changed by that, by your presentation of what you have studied, then you probably have this spiritual gift, this gift of teaching. Now, next, look with me in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, and look at the fourth gift that it mentions here. Romans 12, 8, "The one who exhorts in his exhortation." Now, Paul uses the same Greek word translated exhort in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 22, and there it's translated encourage in the ESV. So you could also say, you could also translate this word as encouragement, the gift of encouragement. An encourager is one, as we know, who affirms, who strengthens, who challenges those who are discouraged so that their faith may be built up, so that their faith may be strengthened in the Lord. Quite often, encouragers are those that are not afraid of confrontation, are comfortable in awkward moments and awkward circumstances, and not afraid to lovingly tell people face-to-face that they need to change, or lovingly tell people what they need to hear. They're oftentimes good listeners. They can empathize with people and with their feelings and with the struggles that life is that life is throwing at them. So if you are skilled at listening, if you are skilled at counseling others, at building them up and delivering to them what they really need to hear and encouraging their faith, those who are discouraged, then you probably have this gift, the gift of encouragement. Now let's look at the next one in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. The one who contributes in generosity. Now, much of the time when we think of this gift, generosity, we think of those who have a lot of money and who have the ability to give a lot of financial wealth. Although that's true and that signifies a generous person, that's not all that this gift of generosity includes. The gift of generosity is basically the divine capacity, the God-given gift to share what you have with other people. It could be your money. It could be your material things. It could be your time. It could be your energy. It could be your skills, your abilities. Anything that you have that you know would bless the life of another, and you feel compelled to give that, to share that with other people. Generous people, the people blessed with a gift of generosity, are those who instinctively and liberally give away their things when they see another person in need, or when they see a need within the church as a whole, and they receive great joy and great pleasure in doing so. So if this describes you, if you are a person that just loves sharing what you have, whether it be your time, your talents, your energy, your money, your material things, and you receive great joy in Jesus and pleasure from that, then you probably have this gift, the gift of generosity. Now let's look at the next one in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Paul says, "The one who leads with zeal." One of my favorite leadership authors is John Maxwell, John C. Maxwell. Maybe you've read one of his books. He's written all kinds of books on leadership. He said this in one of his books: "Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. How do you gain influence from people? You invest in them. How do you invest in them? It starts with giving them time." Now, a leader is one who has the special, and leadership, it's a developed skill. It's a developed skill that's given to one by God. It's the special ability of influencing others, influencing their actions and their speech for the better. They're absolutely dedicated. They are people that are committed to living a pure godly life, the kind of life that people want to emulate, that people want to imitate. A leader is the kind of person that people want to be like. They choose to invest their time in people, and they seek to draw them deeper in faith with Jesus. So if you can look back on your life and you see that you have influenced many people to be like you as you are being like Jesus, if you just love people, if you just love investing your time and your energy in the lives of others and influencing their thoughts and their speech and their behavior so it becomes more like Jesus, then you probably have this gift, the gift of leadership that Paul mentions here. Now, lastly this morning, let's look at verse 8 in Romans chapter 12, the last gift here that Paul mentions. He says, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, the Greek word here translated mercy is eleo, and its Hebrew equivalent is rechem, which is translated in the Old Testament as compassion or mercy. And rechem is used as an attribute of God in His relationship to His children. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. This word is used to describe God's feelings toward His covenant people. He says in verse 15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will never forget you." God is a master. He's a master of mercy and compassion. God has the ability to empathize with His people like a mother does toward her children. He puts Himself into the shoes of other people and feels what they feel, feels their thoughts, their emotions, their inward feelings. God is a being that knows His people's pain and their suffering, which allows Him to offer comfort to those who have broken hearts. This we see through the attribute of God here, the compassion of God, the mercy of God. We see what this spiritual gift of mercy or compassion is. The gift of mercy or compassion describes one who has this special sense about them of empathizing with the thoughts and feelings of those among God's people that are deeply hurt, and gives them, has this special act of giving them comfort and peace in a way that most people cannot. So that's the gift of mercy or compassion, that this gift of placing yourself in the shoes of another person, feeling what they feel and giving them peace and giving them comfort. So as we close this morning, my whole goal in this sermon is to get us all to think and ask ourselves this question: what is my gift? If you're a Christian, then you've been blessed with a gift. You have a gift that God has given to you by His grace. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. The gift that God has blessed you with, or the gifts, embrace it. Embrace the gift that you have. Take pride in the fact that God has graced you with it. Cherish it, cultivate it, and use it to bless other people and glorify the God of the universe. Whatever your gift is, please know that it is so important to the health of the church, and it is so needed. Paul specifically says that the body cannot reach its full potential if we are poor managers of the gifts of grace that God has given us. But we know that when we use our gifts and our talents, we adorn the church of God with marvelous beauty. We make the church look like it's originally intended when every single one of us choose to faithfully manage the gifts that we have been given. We make the church look beautiful. So church family, let's do that together. Let's choose to make the initiative to identify our gifts, to cultivate them, and to use them to bless other people and glorify the God of the universe. If you have any need this morning, if you're hurting in any way and we can pray for you or bear your burden, or if you know that you are lost and you need Jesus Christ more than anything, you believe in Him, you've repented of your sins, you've made a 180 in your life and you've made a commitment, I'm going to adopt His will for my life. Come forward this morning, confess faith in Jesus and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins and know the joy that He brings. Come forward this morning if you have any need as we stand and as we sing.